Sing hallelujah, oh my soul, sing hallelujah, oh my soul, sing hallelujah, oh my soul will sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, my soul will sing hallelujah. Oh, my soul will sing hallelujah. Oh, my soul will sing hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You reign forever. Reign for,
forever.
Oh my, oh my soul.
Reign
for,
forever.
Oh
my soul will sing.
Hallelujah. This is my part right here.
You brought me over.
Brought me over.
Yeah.
Oh my soul will sing.
Brought me over.
Brought me over.
One more time.
You brought me over.
Brought me over.
Oh, my.
Oh, my soul will sing.
You brought me.
Lift it up.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'll sing.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'll sing to you, God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Because you're holy, I'll sing.
Hey.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Because you're worthy, I'll sing.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. I believe you are good and you are doing well. I trust your night was good too. So you're welcome to service, Sunday service this morning. And I'm sure you're going to be blessed. It's going to be a great time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm sure your heart is open. You are prepared to receive what God has for you this morning, to receive into your heart. Praise God. Can you just thank God and say, Father, I thank you. Just thank God that, Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word I'm about to receive. I thank you because I'll be blessed. I'll be inspired. I'll be impacted. I'll be groomed and I will grow by your word. Father, I thank you for your word that will be sent to me tonight. I thank you because hearing your word this morning, I would know what to do. I would know what, where to do it. I would know how to do it. I will know with whom to do it. I receive direction by your word. I receive insight by your word. I receive precision by your word. Somebody thanking God. Say, Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you. You thank him by faith. Manda libra hakta lagadosa. Menenede se igra hakta lagada galagada. Mondo logodibre gedoso fedisa. Ignadoso. Ignadoso. us. Oh, Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you for this morning. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word that we're about to receive this morning. Father, we thank you for throughout the week. We thank you for being with us. We thank you for being in us. We thank you for being our guide. We thank you for directing us. And we thank you again for this morning, because we will be led by you, will be instructed by you, will be impacted by you through your word, will be directed. Father, we thank you for great insight we'll be receiving. We thank you for precision we'll be receiving. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word that will come expressly. We thank you because our hearts are open. We thank you. We thank you because our hearts are receptive to your word, and your word comes upon our heart, and your word produces fruit in great folds in the name of Jesus, in 30s, in 60s, and in 100 folds and multiple of folds in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you because your word grows in our heart. Your word transforms our lives in the name of Jesus. Your word I'll be receiving this morning opens our eyes in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you. Manda lagadosa, men and edibre gedosu fedisa, ignadoso. Men and a debregadogologodoso, Ibragadaga lagada, men and a degelegadese. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. We thank you because through your word our eyes are open. Man on a dorso, man on a dorso, mon on a dogologodoso, mondologo debregadegelegadese, men de legadibregados fedisa, ignadaga lagadasa, ignadaga lagadasa, men and a degelegadibregados fedisa, Ibrogodoso, Ibrogodoso, Ibrogodoso. The entrance of your word giveth light. We thank you, Father, because we receive light in all situations this morning. Because we'll be hearing your word, we'll be receiving your word. Our hearts are receptive to your word, and we'll see by your word in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word that divides the soul and the spirit. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. Manonodoso, Ibragadasa, Ibra. Gadasa, kina da galagadasa. Mendele gadi bregados fedisa, ignadogologodi bregados fedisa. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Can somebody just thank him in other tongues? Just thank him, mando logodi bregados fedisa. When you thank him in the spirit, you do it well, you do it best. Mondo logodoso, ibregadege legadese, menenedege legadi bregados fedisa. And doing it best also when you pray in the spirit, when you pray in other tongues, you talk to your Father. No man needs to understand you, but in the spirit you speak out mysteries. Mondo logodoso, mono no di bregedege legede, mende legedi bregedos fedisa, ignagadasa, ignagadaga lagadasa, mondo logodi bregedos fedisa. Those mysteries become revealed to you, they become revelation. Mondo logodogo logodoso, mondo no di brehecte legedi bregedos fedisa, light shines to every darkness. Manda lagadosa, ibrahakta lagadosa. Gadibre gedege legedosa, kinenedese, kinenedese, kinenedege legedese, mono no dibre ecte legedibre gedege legedese, ignadoso, 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 ignagadoso. You are communing with your Father, you are talking to your Father, ibrogodoso, ibrogodoso, ibrogodogologodoso, ibrogodogologodoso, and also in the same way you are edifying yourself, mana na dibre gadaga lagada, you are building up yourself on your most holy faith. Mondo logodoso, mono no libre gedege legedese, kinadaga lagada, menene libre gedoso fedisa. Kinados, kinados, kinadogo logodoso, mobrogodogo logodi bregedege legede, menenedi bregedoso fedisa, ibrogodoso, ibrogodoso, ibrogodogo logodoso, ibrogodogo logodoso. Just say to yourself that I'm being edified, I am being built up, I am being charged up, mondo logodi bregedoso fedisa, ibrogodoso, ibrogodoso, I am being sharpened, mondo logodo, mobrogodogo logodo, I become more sensitive, kinadasa, kinadasa. Kinadasa, kinadasa, kinadaga lagadasa, manda lagadibre gadaga lagadasa. I become more receptive. Igragadasa, mende legedibre gedogo logodoso, movro godogo logodibre gedoso fedisa. My spiritual ears are open to hear. My spiritual eyes are open to see. My heart is open to understand every word and everything that God has for me. Ignadasa, ignadasa, manana dibre
gadaga lagadasa igne gedege legedi brende legedi bregedogo logodo movrogodoso 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 I bregedege legedese inadi brende legedi bregedoso vedoso logodo mondo logodi bregedoso vedisa igne gedege legedese. When you pray in the spirit also takes hold with you. Helping us in our weaknesses. That means we are strengthened. Manda lagada. Men ne di bregedogo logodo. Movrogodi bregedos vedisa. In that area that you think you are weak, strength is supplied. In that area that we think we are confused, there is light. There is knowing of what to do, and there is just not knowing. There is strength to do what to do. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Now let's open our Bibles. Let's speak our Bibles. We'll be praying, and there is a plan, the agenda, the master plan, as Reverend has been teaching us, of God for everyone of us. Now we're going to be praying in the Spirit for the plan of God for our lives. There is where God wants you to be. There is what He wants us to do at every point in time. There is this direction He wants us to walk in. His purpose for us, for our lives as a church and as individuals, that He wants us, every one of us, to walk in. Let's open our Bibles to Jeremiah 29:11. I read from here. It says, "For I know the plans," from NLT. "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster." Some put it, plans of prosperity and not for disaster. "To give you a future and a hope." A future and a hope. I read again. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good, of prosperity, and not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope." A future is in God. Hope is in God. Prosperity is in God. Peace, absolute peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken is in God. Now just pray it. Just pray it out. That, "Father, I walk in your plans for my life. I walk in your purpose for my life. I walk in your master plan for my life in the name of Jesus. I do not miss it. I walk according to your will. I walk according to your purpose for my life in the name of Jesus. And I fulfill that plan. I fulfill that purpose in the name of Jesus, because I know that there is future there. There is prosperity there. There is peace there. And there is hope there in the name of Jesus." I do what you want me to do, where you want me to do it, how you want me to do it, with whom you want me to do it, in the name of Jesus. I do not miss it. I do not miss it. Even in the places that I've been missing it, I'm brought back to line by your Spirit in the name of Jesus. I'm not like the horse or like the mule that goes astray and brought back by the bridle. I hear your word and I follow your word. I hear your Spirit and I follow your Spirit in the name of Jesus. As you lead me, I follow. As you lead me, I follow in the name of Jesus. Manda la gadosa, man and adibre gadogo logodoso, mondo logodibre gadegelegede, ivro godoso fedisa. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you because we walk in your plans, in your will, in your purpose for our lives, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Amen. Can we just take this confession together? Hallelujah. Confessions of our world's great realities. Hallelujah. It says, "I am God's child. I am God's child. I am born again by the word and the Spirit. I am God's heir and joint heir with Christ Jesus. I'm a partaker of God's divine nature. I'm a partaker of His righteousness and His love. I'm a partaker of His life and light. I'm in Christ. the anointed one, and anointed with his anointing. I am always filled with the Spirit. I'm always led by the Spirit. My life is motivated by the Spirit and regulated by the Word. I am Spirit assisted in all I do. I function supernaturally in this natural world. I'm ever fruitful, never barren, nor unproductive. I never stumble, neither am I ever confused, because light is in me. Sickness, disease, and death bow to me because I have the life of God. Nothing dies within or around me. I'm never caught unawares. Can you just lift your hands and just thank God? Father, we thank you for this, your word. We thank you. We believe we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Wow, praise God. Good morning.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Yeah, God is good. God is good. God is good. We give Him praise. He's worthy of our praise, worthy of our worship, worthy of our thanksgiving. It's a good day. Pretty good day. You know, wonderful, great day, great season. Praise God. All right. So, good morning and welcome once again. I believe that it's been exciting each time we get together. It's been revealing. It's been instructional. It's been helpful. And I trust that this morning would not be any different from what God's been doing. So we continue with our series on the character of love. And it's important to understand this teaching, this series, and how it's going. You might feel, oh, but we're on it for a few weeks now. Yeah, it's worth it. And we might be on it a little more. And there's something important about repetition. Repetition is a law of deep and lasting impressions. Sometimes we think we've heard it, and then, you know, like Hebrews tells us that, you know, these things can slip away if we don't hold onto them. So, you know, it starts with a revelation, then suddenly just moves to just a mental assent, like mentally agreeing to the fact that something is true. Till sometimes, someday, it slips away. And that's usually how revelation becomes religion and tradition. Most things, you know, maybe when we're growing up and they looked so religious, you know, in what we refer to as the Orthodox churches, at certain points were revelations. At certain point were things they understood. I mean, we would all go and they have to kneel down on the pews and bend our heads. And I mean, a couple of people sleep off and all. But I believe that at a point was a revelation of reverence.
Right, revelation of, okay, in the place of prayer, let's kneel, let's bow our heads, let's, you know, that reverence, that, you know, committal to God, you know, and that, you know, sweet fellowship and all of that. So it would have begun with that, and then they loved it. You know, I'm sure you would have had to enter certain churches and then they had to, you know, hit your back or something for not bending your head, you know, towards a crucifix right in front there. And like, why now? What? You know, but, you know, so at certain point for them, it would have been a revelation of honor, of once again reverence, you know, and walking to the church, you know, especially if we had to go to the village and they forced you to robe in the choir, like some of us might have had to experience. You know, and then there's just that, oh, when you get there, bend your head, turn left, or bend your head, turn right, wherever you're sitting, you know, for that service. And you're like, why? You know, but for a generation, it was a revelation, right? And that happens even to us privately, personally. You know, some things can begin as a revelation. You get it, you run with it, you live by it. But if you don't fuel it, if you don't consistently fuel it, you know, over time, it just fades off. It just becomes, you know, then like, you know, you might have met people also, it becomes when I used to, those days, you know, and then, may the love of God not be that way to us, okay? So we need to feed on it. Even those of us that think we know it, I mean, we're learning more and realizing, oh, there's so much more, right, about the character of love that we need to understand. So we'll be looking at the familiar, okay, once again. So, someone says, but everything's familiar, yeah. So we're going to keep, you know, having to look at the familiar just again and again and again. Just get used to it. And so assuming you read the Bible through like every day, I mean, I know nobody does that. I mean, Genesis to Revelation every single day. Assuming you read the Bible through every day, all right, the more you read it, you're still going to see something, all right? If not, you get to a point where you feel, well, I've read the whole Bible. There's nothing else to read. But that's not it. That's not how it works. You read it. You know, and by God, you keep getting something new. So 1 John, all right, chapter 4 and the 7th verse. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. So in the name of Jesus, we do have revelation. We do have illumination. In the name of Jesus, our eyes of understanding is enlightened and we're strengthened. All right, that we're not hearers alone, but we're doers of this word. We bear fruit by it in Jesus' name. So 1 John 4 and 7 says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, because God is love. All right. So John here is not saying God has love. Okay. Of course, John, of course, wrote the Gospel of John in 3:16. He said, for God so loved the world. All right. Romans 5 says the love of God. But here John is now saying God is love. So he's letting us realize a core character, all right, a core personality of God. God is love. In this same 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, he says, God is light. All right, so, but we're dealing with love. So he says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So this, like I said the other time, you know, is close to 1 Corinthians 13. Where the Bible is letting us understand the character of love and the importance of love. So he's saying here, whoever loves, all right, is born of God and knows God. So our depth of knowledge of God is also seeable, right, through our love work. Our depth of knowledge of love, all right, shows, you know, how much we know God. Oh, so if you, anybody getting that? So, oh, I know God, oh, I'm deeply spiritual, oh, I'm deeply committed to the things of the Spirit. And all of that, then John is saying, let's see it in your love work. Let's see it in your love work. All right, so he ends verse 8 saying, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. All right, God is love. So 9, in this, the love of God was made manifest towards us, all right, that he sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love. Verse 10, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation, okay, for our sins. He sent his Son. So verse 20, which we read again on Wednesday, 1 John 4, 20 says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, is a liar, for he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he doesn't see? So John is basically saying this thing is more of walking the walk than talking the talk, okay? So the love walk is more of walking the walk. right? It's the love walk, all right? We pick that, you know, phrase from Ephesians. So let's see that. We've seen it, but we could see it again. Ephesians chapter 5 from the first verse, all right? Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 from verse 1 says, therefore, be imitators of God. Now, when you find the word therefore in the Bible, you need to understand what it is there for. So we have to look at chapter 4, probably the last verse. I know we've done these things before, but it bears repetition. I mean, have you ever been angry at someone and all the caution scriptures just fly off? You forget, you know, right there. You just forget, you know, then it's maybe when you're calming down or the Holy Ghost is now speaking to you, the scriptures now start strolling back through the window or through the door. All right, but at that point, you're fuming, they fly off. Okay, so that means that we need to be more established in it. The more established we are, the more they settle, the more so that they constrain us, all right? We're motivated and regulated by the word and also by the Holy Spirit. So you find out that, you know, at those points when you just, no, let me say it as it is, I'm angry, let me. So what happened to all the caution scriptures? It means we've not been fully established in them as we thought, all right, we were. So we'll read again Ephesians chapter 4, the 31st verse. Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness, not some, all right, don't give room for it. Let all bitterness, all wrath, all anger, all right? Wrath is a higher stage of anger when you are like in rage, all right? And then you are fuming and all of that, all right? Let all bitterness, all wrath, all anger, all clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I said on Wednesday we'll still deal with the understanding of the word malice, but not today. You know, and evil speaking be put away from you. All right, 32 says, and be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake forgave you. So 32 again says, and be kind. All right, so kindness is a character of a believer. Be tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake forgave you. So you forgive as God forgave you. In Mark 11, 20, you know, 25 of Mark 11, Jesus said, when you stand praying, forgive, all right, if anybody has anything against you, so that your heavenly Father may forgive you also. So that at that time, there was no shedding of the blood of Jesus. There was no redemption yet. So we were to forgive so that we could be forgiven. But right now, because of the work of Jesus, and that's good news, we have been forgiven. So now you are not to forgive so that you can be forgiven. Now you are to forgive because you have been forgiven. You are to forgive the way you have been forgiven. You know, and that changes, you know, because if we conform to the world and we're going to keep saying, well, the person is not worthy of forgiveness because the person hasn't come to say sorry. You remember the story of the wicked servant? All right, so let's try and maybe use Naira. All right, somebody owes him what now? Maybe 500 naira, maybe 5,000 naira. And then he's owing his boss like 200,000 naira. And then the boss forgives him of his debt. Okay, so the boss forgives him and says, don't worry about it and all of that. Then he goes now to harass, all right, the guy who, a fellow servant who owes him 5,000 naira. Then the boss hears about it and the boss feels, haba, I gave you an abundance of forgiveness. I gave you an abundance of it. Couldn't you at least, all right, give someone else of the abundance I've given you. All right, and what we have received is an abundance of forgiveness. All our sins, past, present, future, were wiped out once and for all by Jesus Christ on the cross. Guys, naturally speaking, these things are unimaginable. All right, and people still argue with them, you know, the points like that today. And one could understand that, but hey, our understanding must line up with scripture, not with our thoughts, feelings, or opinions. I mean, if one person got born again this morning, Jesus did not shed his blood for that person this morning. Jesus died, all right, when he died, and which was about 2,000 years ago. We'll just keep saying about 2,000 years ago. Hope you understand. All right, but it's around that, you know. So he died about 30 AD. So we'll just keep saying about 2,000 years ago. Now, so you find that the person, Jesus is not just shedding his blood this morning. Jesus had died for the person way back. So is the person now just going to have his own sins forgiven? Is he going to just now have his own sins cleansed or cleared? No, but you have to understand, you know, the fact that this person's sins have already been dealt with by Jesus. Already. All right? So when people say, no, past, present, future is not possible. Well, as at the time that Jesus died on the cross, all our own sins were future. were not born, so were not even committed then, were not even conceived then. So our sins were future. At the point he died, our own sins were future. All right? At the point he died, the sins of the guys out there were future. All right? So he didn't just die for the ones pre or the one right there while, you know, they were committing the sin right there in Jerusalem or wherever else. No, largely there were more future than there was past. In if you get what I'm trying to explain, of course, we've had more years on the earth pre that time. But I'm trying to explain that we have more people now getting, nobody could get born again. Okay? So he was beginning a new creation, was beginning a new nation. Simply put, all right, God in Christ forgave us. So God is saying, hey, I did it for you, do it for the next guy. All right? That now leads to the chapter 5 and the first verse, okay? Leads to chapter 5, first verse. Therefore, be imitators of God as their children, all right? Don't forget, I said, you know, the reason I went to chapter 4 is when you find the word therefore, you need to understand, oh, why is this word here? Okay, so the word therefore, you go back and say, okay, why is it here? So we see it. It says, forgive as God forgave you. So when you do that, therefore, be imitators of God as their children. Number 2 or verse 2 now says, and walk in love. All right. So we'll pick it, like I said, from King James. I walk in love, or walking in love. So the language walk in love is Bible. Just picked it. It's lifted, you know, from the King James. And walk in love as Christ also had loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, a sweet smelling aroma. I've had to tell us, all right, that love, all right, has its direct opposite as selfishness. I understand grammatically is love versus hate, but hate will still be born out of selfishness. Oh, I mean, someone did this to me. I'm not happy with the person. So it's a feeling of self. It's that, you know, but love is sacrificial. Love goes above and beyond. Love, you know, goes beyond the limits. That's love. Love goes the distance. All right. Love even goes beyond the distance. Okay. But when it comes to self, self says, I think I've had enough. I think I can't take enough. So there's always, you know, the two differences there. So verse 2 again of Ephesians chapter 5 says, and walk in love. And walk in love. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, a sweet smelling savour. So he's saying, this is your example. Imitate God and imitate Jesus Christ. All right. God forgave us in advance. Jesus went a distance. So we see the character of love being introduced to us in this place. Oh, so the character. Yeah, the character. All right. So walk in love. So we'll go to John. I know we've read John, but we've got to go to John again. So John 13. So read John 13 and we read the 35th verse of John. So John 13 and 35. John 13, 35. John 13, 35. We'll pick 34 anyway. 34 into 35. John 13, 34 into 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, all right, as I've loved you, that you love one another. By this, all right, 35, by this will all know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. So they see us go to church, all right? They see us carry our Bibles. They hear us pray, all right? They hear us blast in tongues. They might even see you lead worship or hear your songs, you know, and all of that. But Jesus says, hey, this is how they're going to know when they see love. When they see love, all right? So this love now finds expression in human relationship. Husband, wife, wife, husband, parent, children, children, parent, all right? Friends, colleagues, you know, it's the love walk. It's the emblem of the believer. Don't forget, 35, by this shall all men know. By this all will know. Okay, that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. This, the emblem. And if you notice the book of Acts, from chapter 1, you find the word one accord. Or we say phrase now, one accord. They were together in one accord. You see it in chapter 1, you see it in chapter 2, you see it in chapter 4, I believe. So you just see that there was this togetherness, there was this bond about them. And it's the emblem of the believer, the love walk. All right? Thank God for tongues, and thank God for prophecies, and thank God for the signs that follow us that believe, and these signs have to, right? And we're still going to take a series on them because these signs really should follow every one of us that believe. But Jesus said, in the midst of all and together with all of that, you know, at Kenny Higgins' memorial service, you know, the video, I've had to maybe back then watch it a few times, You're right. And then everybody would come up and say, you know, well, maybe not everybody, but a few people came up and like, oh, I mean, everybody knows Kenny Hagin globally as a man of faith, a man of faith. But I just want to let you know that Kenny Hagin was a man of love. You know, and then someone else comes up, says a couple of things again and says, oh, Brother Hagin was a man of love. And then, Brother Hagin was a man of love. You know, it was God's man of faith and power, but it was a man of love. You know, so and it's just amazing that at that level in life and ministry, those testimonies, all right, should follow. And someone says, well, at that level, shouldn't the testimonies follow? But the truth is, if he didn't develop himself at the time, like we are at now, then it might still be a lot more difficult there if he couldn't handle persecution. You know, I remember in a story how that, you know, someone wrote him a stinker, you know, and then I think someone walked into the office with it and read it out to him and said, so what are you going to do about it? I mean, the person really blasted him and all of that in the letter. He said, so what are you going to do about it? Hagin said, I want to go swimming. And then the person said that was the last time he said anything, you know, about that. You know, I remember also Kenneth Copeland, Ken Hagin, there was a particular preacher, right, that would get on radio, get on TV and blast them. Right, he was evangelical, and if you understand denominations, evangelicals, all right, don't talk about speaking in tongues, they don't do gifts of spirit and a whole lot of that. They are very mild. Some of them I even teach that tongues has passed away, but they are heavy on soul winning, as in very, very, very heavy. So, which of course the name already denotes, all right, they're evangelicals. So you find, you know, there was this, I mean, I know his name, I remember him, but I mean there's no need for that here. You know, and then he's blasting them, you know, all this name it, claim it bunch, all this, you know, grab it, have it, you know, which is what they used to call faith and confession, name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, you know. And then he yabs them. So one particular time he had financial crisis in ministry, only to find out that the major supporters of his ministry were Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland. I mean, is that not amazing? The people you are criticizing. So they knew he was criticizing them. So they hear one funny thing. He says, again, I say, send him a seed. I mean, it completely goes against the Babylonian thinking of this world. Completely, as in radically. Who would want to send a seed to someone getting out there finishing you? You would want to come up on your own TV station and send a response, whether directly, indirectly, stylishly, you know, that's the thing we will do. Now, would there be a time like that? Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there's a time to speak and a time to refrain from speaking. So the Holy Ghost will, yes, guide and instruct and lead as to what to do, but it mustn't be flesh, and it mustn't just be that feeling of wanting to vindicate. You know, God knows how to vindicate. God knows how to sort things out. So that's why I said we're all learning, and then we're all improving, and then we're all getting better. So Jesus said, this is the emblem. This is your logo, love work. This is your emblem. This is your logo, the love work. This is your emblem. This is your logo, the love work. All right. So the 15th chapter, John 15, we've read 13 now. So John chapter 15, the 12th verse of John 15. So Jesus already speaking here in John 15 and the 12th verse. I was going to say, can I read from 9? Okay, let's read from 9, but I'm going to 12, 13. All right. So John 15, all right, from 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandment, you will abide in my love. Just as I kept my Father's commandment, I abide in his love, right? His core commandment, you know, two things you need to understand. Number one is being born again. You now fulfill the law, which is a core commandment. But secondly, he's trying to explain the love work. All right. So 11, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Verse 12. Now, this is my commandment. All right, so he calls it a commandment, not a suggestion. He calls it a commandment, not an advice. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is my commandment, that you love one another. I mean, at this point, guys, we might need a breather. Like, okay, so Jesus is serious about this whole love them as I love you thing. All right, don't forget he had changed it earlier. Love your neighbor as yourself. And say, no, I give you a new commandment. Love them the way me, I loved you. And like we read in Ephesians, all right, we're to love the way the Father loved us. Forgive the way the Father forgave us. We cannot do this in our strength. We cannot do this when we look into the Word and forget what the Word said for like another week. That's why this series is important. That's why we're trying to dig deep so that all of us are fine-tuned. It's not, oh, service day, you know, and then can we all just forget about it? And oh no, can we please let ourselves understand if this is the emblem of the believer, And if this is the character of the Christian, if this, all right, is how people will know us, and if this is a new commandment given to us, I think it requires a bit more importance. I think, all right, it needs a high level importance. All right, glory to God. So I believe that, you know, you're understanding what I'm talking about. All right. So Jesus is saying a new commandment. All right. I give you a commandment that you love one another as I've loved you. 13 now says, greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Greater love. And like I said earlier, love goes the distance. Love goes the distance. Love goes the distance. There's something I need to mention at this point, and that's this. This is not the time to pick up a shovel and say, can you hear? Go the distance. Can you hear? You're not going the distance. This is a time to keep growing yourself. Keep grooming yourself. There was this video by Dr. Billy Brehm that I know maybe was last year or 2 years ago that was watched at the Jebu Church. I think it was a midweek service. All right, how that she was talking about the fact that, you know, Brother Hagin had taught them about the love walk, and she had heard a lot of it at the classes, and then they began to meditate on 1 Corinthians 13, which we're going to do maybe next Sunday, maybe probably next Sunday. I'd want us to have something we could do, but you could do this on your own. So anyway, you know, this is Dr. Billy Brehm, a believer, and then her husband was a believer and a minister. I mean, I remember one day she was talking about the healing anointing on her husband's life, and she said, wow, that she knows that the healing anointing on her husband's life is as strong as that on her robot's life. I mean, I'm like, did she just say that? You know, but that the man just refused to walk in God's plans. All right. He just refused to step into that office. He just refused, you know, to follow. I mean, but talk for another day. But it's just important to understand that, guys, we didn't bring ourselves here. I mean, she was humble enough to have said that about her husband. You know, that, I mean, the healing anointing on his life was rare. She said it, all right? She said it, all right? You know, healing anointing on his life was super rare, that she would say that it matches, you know. And I'm trying to say match conservatively. I'm actually trying to recall exactly what she said, almost like she thinks it's even stronger. But I'm trying not to say that, but at least conservatively, she said it matches that, you know, of Dr. Oral Roberts. But he just never wanted to step into any one of those things. So anyway, so she's with, you know, Reverend Hagin, learning about love work and many other things. So she comes back home, and then she pasted on her kitchen cabinet. So I guess some of you might remember the story right now. All right, she pasted on her kitchen cabinet. So something happens, you know, between him and her. She runs quickly to the kitchen. I'm patient. I'm kind. It's all like, well, what's that for? You know, hey, what's that for? It was obvious in her life because she kept on doing that. She kept on guarding her heart, putting the right things, you know, in her mind, and then feeding herself with the right picture of the love walk. You know, so that's what she kept on doing. She had to put herself there. So something goes wrong, you know, and then maybe something, an argument, a conversation doesn't go well. She runs back to it. All right, maybe she tells him to get to the grocery store to help her pick something. And then he just goes to the grocery store, picks something, doesn't pick something else. And she's trying to make a meal because she's needing to go for a fellowship where she's handling something and all of that. And then, I mean, he just comes back with what he could do. And then she's trying to, but she said after a while, and this is where I'm going. She said after a while, it wasn't that his behavior changed, but her response changed. So she realized the scripture was working. Something changed about her. You know, so very many times we learn this and you want to say, okay, are you listening? No. The transformation is primarily individual. You, your love work. Now, someone else just found a bullet hole right there. So don't tell me about it. Go and do your own. Leave me alone. You know? If we all do the things well, we'll do the world to be a better place. All right? But primarily, you listening this morning, see this as God talking to you. And don't see this as, well, there's no problem with my own love walk. Me, I'm fine. Go to the scripture. You'll be amazed at the holes, you know, we might have. And then the more you look into the Bible, and then the more you allow the Holy Ghost reveal things to you, then you see yourself better. You see yourself better. And it's humbling, all right, when God shows you, correct this. Adjust this, correct this, you know, because in our understanding of the concept of the new creation, we could just model a whole lot of things up, you know. For instance, like I taught during the teaching on the man in the mirror, all right, I clearly said there's nothing wrong with a new creation. And that's the truth. Okay, so we look through scripture, all right. Hebrews 12 says, all right, we have spirits of just men made perfect. Colossians chapter 2 verse 10 says we're complete in him. I mean, we have scriptures that shows that, hey, we're perfect and complete. However, don't forget that the mind needs to be renewed. Don't also forget that the body needs to be put under. All right. So if you say, well, I'm a new creation, there's nothing wrong with me, I don't have to adjust anything, we might be taking the revelation and applying too far. All right. Because don't forget, in Ephesians 4, Paul had to be telling new creation, lie not, be angry, sin not, grieve not the Holy Ghost. So Paul could have just said, well, you guys are new creation, so there's nothing to write to you. Just hallelujah, praise God, have a great day, drink ice cream on, you know, with pancake and just have a nice day. And Paul would have left that. So we could take the concept or the understanding of new creation and then apply. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul was saying that, you know, since you're seated together with Christ, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. And then he got through saying, you know, if your life is hid with Christ in God, and then when Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then you'd appear with him in glory. Next verse, Paul says, mortify therefore the deeds of your body. And he begins to mention sexual sins and all of that. So Paul could have said, well, you guys are new creation, so there's nothing to say. There's no fault. I can't say anything. You guys are perfect, perfect, perfect. No. Guys, it's the spirit that is perfect. If the mind remains unrenewed and the body is not disciplined, there will be a lot of mess and a whole lot of horrible imperfection that will consistently manifest. Do you remember that Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 told the Corinthian church that they were saints? He even said that they did not come behind in no spiritual gifts. Chapter 3 said, guys, you people are carnal babies. You are ruled by your flesh, carnal flesh. All right, you're ruled, your flesh is dictating how you guys are functioning. And you'll see that in the letter he wrote to them. Them taking themselves to court, someone sleeping with his father's wife, people just grubbing the food before the others. You know, so that means, so even now, if they say there's food at the back of the church and we have to rush there to quickly grab the thing we can grab, and you have eaten cake and you have to say you have not eaten cake, you know what you're just saying? Carnal. Your flesh is telling you how to behave. You know, so you finish and there's nothing wrong with me. I'm a new creation. Yeah, we know we're not blind to scripture. There's nothing wrong with the new creation. All right. But the new creation is 1/3 perfect. Spirit is perfect. Mind must be renewed. All right. Mind must be renewed. Body must be put under. Are you getting this? Spirit is, so we are 1/3 perfect. Spirit. All right, but people are not interfacing with your spirit. They meet with you. All right, so I've had to live with people, and in living with people, I've had to learn things. I remember this wonderful friend of mine. He had business, you know, selling vegetable oil. There was time I was doing chin chin. He'll fry it. We're classmates. We'll fry chin chin, you know, and then, you know, sell. And all of that, but that chin chin only chin chin. People had names. You could live in, you know, hostels. You know, it wasn't school hostel. There was no school hostel. You know, but privately owned buildings, so you could even have your landlord with you. And then he had people he would, you know, give, you know, vegetable oil to, give chin chin to, and all of that. There was time he dabbled also into kerosene and even palm oil. Yes, a student, as in my friend, my classmate, all right, full time with me. He'd been doing some of those things before he came into school, I suppose. So we're close. So I began this tract thing that I was publishing and then paste on campus. He would also fund it. But after a while, he had to tell me, guy, I won't just give you this thing free. Hope you don't mind. You have to sell something. So I had to start distributing vegetable oil. I had customers. I have to go. Do they need more? Okay, they need. So I drop. I check. I come back. Okay, have they finished selling? I had to do that because my friend, you know, I could just sit and just have this entitlement mentality. Well, he's my friend. If he wants to give, he should give. Why should he tell me to go and work? You know, blah, 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 blah. You have to learn. Your character is being worked on and improved. I was on my IT. He stayed back in school because of his business. Was still up in Abeokuta because of his business. Then I had to go, you know, to Abeokuta, you know, while processing HND and all of that. Stayed back at his house. And, you know, I think I visited him first time. Second time, I was coming against school. And then I was spending the night. And he said to me, I'm sorry, can't you even buy bread? Can't you buy bread? As in, you can't buy bread, can't buy kokoro at the bus stop before coming here. You know, I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Now, I could have gotten offended and not gone to his place again. What does he mean? How can he be correcting me? Doesn't know I'm trying to manage myself. But this is my friend. You know, because we could now turn the whole love walk thing to inability to be corrected or inability to receive correction. All right. So I'm building up there. All right. But I believe also that it needs to come in today. Do you remember that Proverbs 22 and verse 6? Proverbs 22, 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's grown, he will not depart from it. All right. That's Proverbs 22, 6. The word train there is not an easy word. All right. It's not an easy word. So to be trained there is not just being allowed to do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it, however you want to do it. So question is, are we open to correction? All right? Because, oh, it's love work. Now, this point I'm making now is always sweet to the person giving out the correction. You know, can lash out at people and say, hey, can't you be corrected? And then we're lashing and lashing and lashing and lashing. I must correct you. There is still how to correct. Okay, so it's not enough to say I'm correcting. There's how. All right, so now just say, however I say it, receives a correction. We correcting need to learn how to correct. The person being corrected needs to understand how to receive correction. There's this place in Proverbs I want to read. It's quite interesting. Well, two places. One is 13:24. So Proverbs 13 and 24. Oh, are we dealing with character of love? Yes, it's still a character of love. All right, so Proverbs, okay, are you there? 13. And the 24th verse, Proverbs 13 and 24. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. So we see here, Bible is talking to us about quickly addressing something, quickly correcting a child. He's saying he, you know, who loves the son. Okay. So he who loves the son, you know, corrects him promptly. But whoever just leaves him alone, you know, just, hey, you're not allowing him. So allow me read Proverbs 23. That one is a bit funny now. Proverbs 23. Okay. And then the 13th and the 14th verses, Proverbs 23, 13 and 14. Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. All right, you will beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. Do not withhold correction from a child. If you beat him with a rod, he would not die. If you beat him with a rod, you will deliver his soul from hell. So here we find the Bible. I mean, Ken Hagin had to talk about, you know, him having to read the verse, I mean, the Bible to Ken Jr., all right, each time he needed to spank him. I'll let him know, I'm not doing this because I feel like doing this. I'm doing this because I need to protect and preserve your destiny. So maybe he was told to take out the trash and then he went out to play football. I mean, like Ken Hagin says, children are children, you know. So he's supposed to take out the trash and then he leaves it and then plays football, runs around with friends, comes back late. You need to take out the trash. No. Aha. Yeah, come here. What does the Bible say? So after a while, that Ken Jr. himself will repeat what the Bible said. And like, so you understand why I need to spank you. So I'm spanking you. Now, I feel I'm saying that story because I'm going somewhere. So that means that the correction, therefore, will be controlled. It's not correction coming out of anger, you know, slap, hit, beat, kick in and all of that. It's controlled. So I'm saying the person who needs to mete out the correction does it with control. The person who needs to receive the correction receives this with meekness. So it's a two-sided coin, all right? Well, Colossians, Paul was writing and says, children, obey your parents. He now says, but fathers, do not provoke them. So it comes from the two angles, all right? So you say, oh, you need to listen. Oh, there's a way to listen. Are you getting this? Because every one of us, some way or the other, we have authority and then we're under authority. Every one of us, some way or the other, we have authority and then we're under authority. Every one of us. Some way or the other, we have authority and then we're under authority. So when I have the authority, how do I use it? All right. And still have love working in it. All right. When I'm under the authority, how do I use it? And still have love working in it. Because especially in places like the office and all of that, you don't choose who your boss is. So you don't choose the character. You don't choose the behavior of your boss or your colleagues. But Bible still says that this love work is the emblem of the believer. So if love work is the emblem of the believer, how do I comport myself? When they laugh about a fellow colleague, do I laugh with them? All right. When they say something funny against the boss, you know, do I join? You know, how do I carry myself in these areas? Okay. I'm doing business. To what extent does my love work allow me to make some amount of profit? What's the extent? All right. So it's not, oh, well, it's profit is how we all do. Agreed. But to what extent does my own understanding of the love work, all right, allow me to do this thing that I want to do? All right. So what's the extent? What's the plan? What's the extent to every single thing? Praise God. If you are getting me and understanding me, you could drop a comment. Let me know. I think I got feedback that some people couldn't hear me. All right. So please, we've got to, because this is character building. You know, so it's not one rule for us because we're in church, and then another rule because we're outside church. So it's not one rule because we're in church, and then it's not another rule. All right, it's the love walk. So you find Jesus out there on the streets of Jerusalem, he walked in love. Oh, but he said some harsh things to the Pharisees. Yes, he did. Why? Oh, then from time to time, he said this here, he said that here. Yes, but Jesus will say, I'm not saying anything my Father is not saying. All right, as I hear, I judge, I speak. So how are we, all right, in our own cases, how exactly are we exhibiting that character of love? How exactly are we doing that? So we're going to read 1 Corinthians 13, Galatians 5, excuse me, 1 Corinthians, Galatians 5, wrap up there. Then on Wednesday, this is what I want us to look forward to. And I want you to do that before Wednesday, please, all right? On Wednesday, I want us to do something. I want us to read 1 Corinthians 5. I know we've done a bit of it. I think we did like once. Why not be 13 rather, from different versions of the Bible and picking some key words. We're going to do that on Wednesday. Different versions, pick a few keywords, all right? Different versions will pick a few keywords. Then we'll look at Galatians chapter 5, all right, from 16 also to 25 and pick a few keywords, you know, pick a few keywords, you know, pick a few keywords that would help us. Do you understand that? Why are we doing this? Because we need to now go deeper. I know you could see on the top of it, if you remember the Billy Brim story I told us right now, I mean, she would paste it and say, love is patient, love is, I'm patient, I'm kind, I'm forbearing, I do not take account of any wrong that is done to me. I mean, why are you doing it? Your mind is going, are you dumb? If you keep doing this, this person is going to take advantage of you. And that's the next natural response. I mean, I'm sure we've all been there. You know, that's the next natural response we're all going to get. You know, it's the next natural response. Hey, I can't take it anymore. Ah, lie. I'm not, you know, and all of that, You know, so there's a point to say no more. But let it not be flesh. Let it not be self. I remember, I've told us, I've not been perfect at this also, all right? Not at all. I mean, there are cases where one is ashamed, all right, to talk about. But I remember, when I was younger, like I said, I had a roommate. And then we're buddies. We're buddies from school, from secondary school. We're buddies back at home. I mean, we lived, you know, I was at Abuliagba, he was at Okoba. But there's this place you can just, you know, I take a walk to his house. Then he sees me off almost to my house. Sometimes we get to my house and walk back again. I mean, we were buddies. Then we got to school, you know, I even got to school through his dad's influence and all of that. And then we're roommates. So overtime, comes in late, he eats. Sometimes I come in late. I mean, he slept off. I cook. And then he wakes up only to eat and jump back on the bed. No high, no nothing, no. I mean, if I was ever frustrated, I remember that time very, very well. Then I told my friends. And then my friends said, lie, you must tell him if I move out. You know, and then, you know, my friends were like, hey, we're not going to take it. All right, so thanks. Heard loud and clear. All right. You know, so, and then my friends couldn't stick it, you know. But then there was this senior Brother Patrick. He was in HND, we were in OND. And I met Brother Patrick and I was like, nah. You know, have you ever gone to talk to someone about something and you really didn't want to hear what the person started saying? You know, I think that must have been one of those moments in my life. But thank God, God helped me, all right? So we're growing, all right? So I remember Patrick had to tell me about patience, had to tell me I'm a believer. He preached all that to me. You know, he did. And then, I mean, be patient with him. Thank God for that strength. So that was 100 level.
matters got worse in 200 level. 200 level, he hardly stayed at home. 200 level, he was hanging out with friends. So when I come around his friends, he's uncomfortable with me because he feels I'm going to start preaching to his friends, blah, 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 blah. But I mean, IT period right now, we come back and this guy's born again. And then a few months later, he's a pastor of a fellowship on campus. And he tells me, man, there's my mentor. That's my mentor. You know, fast forward, just last year, he reached out to me. He follows me on social media. He's a minister of the gospel. He's in UK. You know, he reached out to me and said, I think you should write books. I think your books should come out. So I told him, well, I've given 2 manuscripts out, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so send me your account number. I want to send money, you know, towards your book. Or of course, till now, I haven't. And like I explained to him, I said, I would like that I receive that money at the point of action, you know, so let's wait till the point of action, you know, so blah, 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 blah. So my point is, I mean, this is a relationship that began as far back as 93. And then we really heat up, really got close into 94, going to school 95. And then, so yeah, lost contact for quite a while. But I mean, now we could talk. I mean, we're still on phone together 2 weeks ago, maybe 3. And then we talked for quite a while. But thank God for patience. Thank God. And there's this angle of selfishness that is so human. And that's what's in it for me. What's in it for me? So what am I going to get? You know, so maybe God is even leading you somewhere. If you, so when I get there, what am I going to get? You know, so God says, you know, so you find out that our motivation now most times is what am I getting back? Guys, as much as God is, allow me to use the word business, as much as God is in the business of rewarding us for things we do, all right, the reward in itself should not be the primary motivation. As much as God is in the business of rewarding us. All right? You know, so, but Jesus, you know, I mean, God knew that if he sacrificed Jesus Christ, he'll get all of us now. Was that no motivation? Love is what the Bible teaches was the motivation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And it was because he loved us, he was trying to rescue us. And see how nice we've all been to him with all the things he did. Come on. And he's still interceding for us every day. So what's in it for him? Yeah, but he got all of us back. He's still in the bid to get all of us back. All right? And then Jesus said, no greater love than this for a man to lay. So if it was so easy to do, then he wouldn't have been in the Garden of Gethsemane saying, Dad, I just wish this cup could pass away from me. I wish it will, but not my will. Let your. That means there was a point where his flesh kicked in. But thank God he was able to, you know, put his flesh under. All right? Pull his flesh under. He was able to do that. Praise God. You know, just put his flesh on that. And then you and I have got to understand that if everything is always about what's in it for me, what's in it for me? God rewards. Don't get it wrong. God rewards. All right? He does. He will. I mean, you know, Paul said, you know, I've fought the fight. I've, you know, run the race. I've finished my course. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness that Jesus, the righteous judge, will give not only to me, but to everybody that loves the appearance. So, hey, yay, we're going to get something. So there's a reward. But it's not a reward-based system. It's a love-based system. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 says the love of Christ constrains us. So our motivation is love. Are you getting this now? All right? Our motivation. So if everything about your thinking is, so what's in it for me? So you find that even ministry, when God calls you to ministry, it's, so what's in it for me? What's in it for me? But there's just this joy. Excuse me. There's just this joy about walking in obedience. Okay, so I left Lagos and came to Jebode. What's in it for me? So I say, eh, but see what see the lives we've been able to impact. maybe I should laugh a little more. Oh dear Lord. It's easy to say that today, all right? Not then. Not then. Not then. The joy was the obedience, all right? That my wife would also leave Ife, come to Jebu, check on things, you know. I mean, I just didn't buy pots, didn't buy, she carried her pot from Ife, traveled with it, carried pillow, traveled with it, you know. I mean, there were days of no Gary, not no food, no Gary, and you're there for 3 days. And then you're praising, you're praying. Some days you don't want to fast, but there's nothing to eat, so you're fasting, you know. You know, so you're there, you're wanting, and then God leads you one step at a time. God leads you into something. God, and then you begin to see the things He wants to do. Oh, what a privilege. What a privilege. What a privilege. He rewards. And hey, the truth is we haven't received all our rewards, humanly, naturally speaking, yet. Oh no, I know that. And they are saying no. But He rewards. But there's a joy in that my Father God can send me. He can call me. He can say, do this for me. So maybe you're there saying, but God hasn't told me to do anything. I didn't begin with knowing what He was saying to me. I began with just being sold out and committed. I began with preaching to people. You might have heard me say sometimes back then, when we're in school, my friends would say, let's go, man. I'm like, I'm not ready to go home. Well, I just want to find one more person to preach to. Oh, glory to God. If I saw a Christian book or magazine with someone I usually, if I fail to talk to the person, it would be maybe 2%. I would, you know, if I want to be conservative, I'll say 10%. If I see a Christian book with you, I will ask you for the book title. I want to know the church you go to. I want to know, I'm coming to, are you born again? If I see you sing a song, I might want to talk to you. But at least I remember the one or book. If I see a book, a literature with you, I know how many people I talked to that way. I know how many people. I have friends, I mean, you know, they are Love World people. Well, they were, you know, in the UK, they've left. You know, so I think they were interviewed someday. And someone say, oh, that they talked about you. Of course, person knew the story and person also was Christ and Mercy. So I actually went to pay the person. And some other guys, if you sit in Christ and Mercy, that was Christ and Mercy, about 2002. 2003, there about. They talked about you, You know, and then we were classmates. So, of course, this friend was my own very, 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 very good friend. And then this lady, I just noticed, I saw one book with her this week. I think one day she came with Good Morning, Holy Spirit. And then I'm like, I need to go. I'm going to. So I started talking to her. Found out she had a ministry. You know, she believed she was called into counseling. And then if you meet this lady, she was one of the people that, you know, you won't think she's a Christian. Appearance, nah. So I reach out to the lady, talk, and then I start giving her tapes and all of that. So this, my very close friend, had a lot more tapes, Pastor Chris's messages. So I just hooked them up. Please supply her. She's enjoying the messages. And then that's how he has been supplying her till now, you know. So, you know, so they were telling the same, they were like, our class rep, our friend, our class rep. So I'm kind of like, I know that story. That was you. I said, yeah, you know. So my point is, it wasn't what's in it for me. I've had to sit down. I remember my last 2 days on campus, I was busy dubbing tapes, Kenneth Hagin tapes. And in the midst of that, I shared God's word with people. I remember one of those times, I was sharing God's word with someone, and I literally saw, you know, when you see someone's eyes bulge, pop, like, I got it. I understood it. You know, I've literally, you know, if you know me, you know I'm more of one-on-one than pulpit. I grew on one-on-one. I could do one-on-one money tonight. All right. I mean, I love it. You can literally see into the person's eyes and see she's understanding it. He's getting it. He's grabbing it. You see transformation. So I'm saying all that to encourage anybody asking, so God hasn't told me what the calling is. So how did I know I was called to teach? Wasn't God wrote in the sky, you're a teacher? You know, and all of that. It was, I explained and someone goes, oh, solid, man, you teach well. I'm like, okay. You know, you teach well. Okay. And I teach well. And that's how we began. But a lot of it was one-on-one. You know, of course, I go into this particular fellowship, right? So I was vice president. And then my fellowship president could always just abduct, just abandon the ship maybe fellowship is like 3 o'clock. All right, Wednesday afternoon on campus. I think it was 1 or something. Wednesday afternoon on campus. And then we start. Preacher is going on. And then she walks up to me and says, I'm not preaching. I'm not preaching today. Larry, you're the one that is going to preach. I'm like, no, service has started. You can't be doing that to me right now. And then eventually she prevails. I'm like, all right, I'm going to do it. And then with all those little things, I was getting sharper. God was training me. So while, yes, it's always good to have notice ahead of time, I've had numerous, I mean, growing up as a Christian, I was what? I got born again 94, going to 111, 95. So this fellowship I'm talking about was 95. You know, we now became ESCOs. I was ESCO 95, I became vice president 96. So I was just 2 years old in Christ. And then she just flings a pulpit to me like, you're preaching today. Yeah, very young fellowship, about 8, 10. I think maybe max about 15 of us, but you're preaching today. You're preaching today. We're at house fellowship. We'll do Sunday evenings. I get to the venue of house fellowship. Then I'm hearing from the president, like, I'm not preaching. I'm not preaching. Like, you know, I'm not preaching today. And those things just grew me. Much later, 97, God told me about his call to ministry, but I still didn't get where he really was. I just knew I was called. God began to adjust things about my life, sent, you know, materials, Ken Hagin and all of that my way. I'm saying we don't just wake up with, this is the calling. Even when you know this is the calling, you grow in it by commitment. Commitment to the Lord and the things the Lord will keep revealing to you. I believe this is helpful to somebody. Because in the arena of love work, we must always, by the Spirit especially, pinpoint, guys, that tone of selfishness. What's in it for me? What's in it for me? And it creeps in gently. So what am I going to get? And you know the tricky thing here? That sometimes what you're going to get that motivates you is the applause of men. Really tricky. Okay. So I'm doing it for God. I'm doing it for God. Then the picture just flashes. Wow. And if you do this thing well, the way people are going to say, and the way people are going to say, you know, I need to be careful. It's like you're a preacher, you know, you're about to mount up the pulpit, you know, you're invited somewhere and you're waiting for how they're going to introduce you. You know, you want to hear. They shouldn't miss any line. You sent your profile to them. They must say it well. You know, when that begins to become a priority for you, there could be trouble. There could be trouble. You know, or maybe the person doesn't read your profile. They just got up there. You know, glory to God. Time has gone right now. Let's quickly just welcome our guests. All right, let's just welcome all the way. Pastor Rex, please come up. If you didn't say anything. How can I not say anything? No, let me go back to my seat. You must say it very well. You know, so you find that it could be subtle. All right, like Jesus said, if you pray in the public so that people will say, well done, you just received your reward. Guys, this is tricky. So that means motive. And nobody sees this thing. Nobody sees it on the outside. It's hiding somewhere on the inside. So maybe, you know, someone has a flat tire, you know, and then you quickly park your car to help the person. You grab a person and go, well, let me help the person. I mean, I'm sure this person also has a day, you know, to go into, you know. And then you could help a person with, while I'm helping a person, imagine, if fourth truck member just passed now, they'll say, wow, this person is a wonderful sister. See how she's helping someone. If those thoughts come now, like I've thought before, the first thoughts are not always your thoughts. Knock the thoughts and say, no, I'm doing this for the Lord. Don't enter condemnation. No, I'm doing this for the Lord. No, I'm doing this for the Lord. Yes, the Lord will reward me, but I'm not doing this for people to say something to me. Do you understand that, please? Because these things can creep in. This thing, in fact, some of them have creeped in so much, they've hindered people from doing good. So you want to sow a seed. So if I sow now, how do I sow? You know, but I don't want anybody to come and say thank you to me. Bible didn't say they shouldn't say thank you to you. All right? Because the Bible lets us know, all right, that while Jesus said, go into your closet to pray, Jesus prayed in public places. For one of the times the disciples asked him, Lord, teach us to pray, he just finished praying in front of them. They saw him pray. How were they able to record some of his prayers if they didn't see him praying? All right? They heard him pray. They could write down the prayer. So Jesus wasn't hiding every time to go pray. So that wasn't the point. Was do not do it so that people will say. Are you getting that? So if you need to give, give. I mean, we know Kenneth Copeland is a major partner to Ryan Bunke's ministry. That's not Copeland now blowing his trumpet and say, hey, see you, see me. That is Copeland wanting to motivate us. And the truth is, we heard such stories more from Ryan Bunke than we hear from Copeland. We have more from Ryan Bunke and from, you know, the ministry, Christ for All Nations. I know they sound alike. There's Gordon Lindsay, Christ for the Nations, Christ for all, CFAN. All right, Rambunke is CFAN. Christ for All Nations. Gordon Lindsay is Christ for the Nations. You know, quite similar. You know, nobody copied anybody. It's just name, all right? So, you know, so we need to check that what's in it for me. You know, someone invites you to the hostel to pray for someone. And then you could be motivated by love and that anger, that sickness cannot be ravishing this person's body. But also go as a man, when I pray, and the prayer is answered, man, they will just know that, man, I don't spiritual. And these things can happen with gifts of the Spirit too. The way you just feel, are they give word though? Me, I don't they give word. Maybe people now know. But you know, the same thing, like I said, can now cripple someone and say, well, I gave prophecy the last meeting. I gave prophecy the meeting before. Now I have a prophecy. I don't want people to start saying, oh, well, let me keep a prophecy to myself. Now, if God gave you a word, give the word. Are you getting that now? So there are two extremes. One extreme of, I want people to hear me. The other extreme of, I don't want people to hear me, so let me not even do anything at all. No, no, no. Be vocal. Step out. For the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to bless everybody. Step out. Be a blessing. But be on the lookout, okay? For those little thoughts of selfishness. Those, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? Is it wrong? There are cases where it's fine. You're into business. I mean, you're going to make profit. Jump into your business, make your profit. All right? But I'm saying if it now begins to run everything you do, even the fact that you carried your baby in front of all your friends, you know, you didn't carry your baby that way because you love your baby alone. You now carry your baby so that they will say, ha, see the way she loves her baby. You know, if the applause of men, if that's all you now live by, there could be trouble ahead. Please check this, somebody, please. All right? So you now don't just hug your wife because you want to hug your wife. You now hug your wife so that, romantic couple. Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you doing what you're doing? What's the motive? What's the motive? What's the motivation? So check the two sides. So if that subtle applause of men, all right, it's there. And I believe the Holy Ghost is shedding light on this morning so that we could, you know, see it for what it is. And I pray our eyes are open much more, you know, to realize this thing. Those little, I prayed well, you know, I fasted. Now there's not, I mean, Bible says when you're fasting, wash your face, you know, cream it up. Don't let people know. But there are instances where someone needs to know, all right? Maybe you have a group of friends and you're doing it together, then they will know, all right? You're doing it with church, then church will know. Your unit leader will know, all right? Maybe you stay with someone who gets to prepare meals and the person might need to know, just prepare the meal. I might not eat this morning. I need to just stay off food a bit. I mean, so all of that. But I understand that we could come from that mindset of once it's uttered to one person, the fast has canceled. You know, so you might need to renew the mind from there and say, okay, that's not what the Bible, you know, is saying. Bible is not saying nobody should know at all. Don't forget, Jesus was asked. We don't see your disciples fasting. That means the people could see. This will always just chopping, 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 chopping. And Jesus said, the bridegroom is still with them. Now let them have fun. When I'm gone, they will fast. All right? So some people say he has gone and he has come back to live in us. So there's no need to fast. No. Jesus said, when you fast. All right? And Paul said, in fastings often. All right? So please don't do that one. All right? You need to fast. Learn to let your body know who's boss. All right? And a major area is the area of appetite. All right? Appetite for food, for sex, for entertainment. All right? Appetite. You need to put your body under, let your body know who's boss in the areas of appetite, food, sex, relaxation, entertainment. I'm boss, all right? You're not going to make me eat if I don't want to eat yet. I'm hungry, but I'm not eating, right? You're not going to make me sleep. I want to stay up a little, like 30 more minutes. So, I mean, you just let your body know I'm boss. I'm the boss here. I'm the boss here. So we've been able to shed quite some light, you know, praise God. We've been able to shed quite, you know, some light on this. Please, I trust God to help us shed greater light, all right? Greater light. Oh, thank you, Lord, that our love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, that our eyes of understanding will be enlightened to see, all right? Paul says in Ephesians 3, that we may know the length, the breadth, the depth, the height, all right, of the love of God. Please, I pray also that we'll be delivered from the thoughts of people and from the control, whether subtle or obvious, control of people, you know, that you're doing it because of people. King Saul got into trouble and lost his throne that way, all because of the thought of the people. Some of you cannot wear new shoe now because of people. They will say, you know, now there's a time to be considerate. There's a time, like Bible says, that let your moderation be obvious to all. So you have to see the scriptures for what they are. All right, it's not just we tilt too much to one side and say, well, he gave us all things richly to enjoy. There's a time for moderation. There's a time, you know, for that. And then there's a time to say, hey, hold up. Hey, I'm blessed. I can't help it. I'm blessed. All right. So you have to understand the faces and the leadings of the Spirit. But may we be delivered from those subtle controls. You know, those you're doing it so that song will say something nice and then people will applaud you, you know. The applause of men is dangerous, you know. Kenneth Hagin says you treat it like chewing gum. You chew, you spit it out. You don't live by it, all right? I know that also should let some of you know that deals also with your social media life and all of that. Oh, they check my status. They cannot even say anything. I mean, can we try to live a life that is your life, all right? And the most important person in that life is God. Now, get me and let me round up on that. You know, I could say most important thing in my life is God. If nobody cares about me, God cares about me. It's only God. It's only God. It's only God. But the same God cannot talk to you. The same God cannot instruct you. The same God cannot correct you. Then, are you getting that now? So, because you could just say, well, nobody cares. Only God. Only God. I don't send anybody. Only God. But are you obeying God? Are you following His instructions? Are you following the dictates of the Spirit? Okay, so you and I need to be clear, you know, very, very, very clear, all right, on that. So my prayer once again is that we're strengthened. My prayer is that our eyes are open. My prayer, you know, is that we see love for what it is. You know, that we see love for what it is, that we embrace the revelation of God's love for what it is. All right, So eventually couldn't touch Galatians 5 and then 1 Corinthians 13. But please, you will still do that on your own. Okay, so Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, all right, down to verse 25. Please note it. Galatians 5, 16 to, you know, 25. Leaders, please help encourage the folks, all right, to just read through. All right, you could just read it every day before Wednesday. Galatians 5, 16 to 25. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 to 7, all right? I would have said 1 to 8a. 8a, King James says, love never fails. But by the time you get to 8, some versions, you can't place that A out properly and all of that. So could you just still do 1 to 7, okay? 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 7. Galatians chapter 5, all right, 16. You know, Galatians chapter 5, 16 to 25. Read different versions. Just read and understand. That's what I'm saying. By the time you get to 13, I mean 8, you know, some versions, you know, for those of you that use NLT, you know, might know. But just read, please, all right? Help me encourage everybody. Encourage your friends who were asked to read this. And please just go ahead and read it, okay? Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. See, I'm a love being. I'm a love child of a love God. My Father is love. And He has poured His love out into my heart. So I live a life of love. I walk the walk of love. Not according to my senses. Not according to my flesh. Not according to my feelings. Not according to how people think I should. But according to God's love. I am motivated by the Spirit. I am regulated by the love and the word of God. God's love constrains me. God's love is my boundary. God's love is my motive. God's love is my motivation. Praise God. Amen. So I believe we've been blessed, blessed, blessed. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yep, I'm a love being. I'm a love being. I'm a love being. You know, those days some people crack joke and say, I'm a love beans, love rice, love. All right, so, but I'm a love being. All right, so I guess we're all love beans. All right, we're love beans. So praise God. It's Sunday. It's Sunday. So we have Influence of the Spirit, 5 p.m., you know, this evening, 5 p.m. to 5:45, all right? We will be live on Instagram. We will be live on YouTube. I'll be live right here on Spreaker. I believe by next Sunday, we will be live Facebook also. So, I mean, just enough platforms to get the word out. If you remember, Influence of the Spirit was a physical meeting that ran for about 2.5 hours. I think we've once done 3 hours, but we usually do about 2.5 hours. We will do 4:30 to 7. Then we did 5 to 7:30. I know, I think we've done 4:30 to 7:30. Then we now shifted to 5, 7:30. Then we did the pre-recorded, you know, the one that were in the studio. I believe you saw it or you listened to it. And it was long too, all right? So, and there's so much happening on social media right now that trying to do a 1 hour, 32 hour meeting. Might just not be it. All right. So I believe it's a wisdom of God to now have it weekly. So it's just 45 minutes. And interestingly, I've got some few feedback from even non-SOSC people saying 45 minutes seems short. They'll manage it, but it's short. It's short. You know. So God has blessed us in this ministry that we're blessing people. Right, in very, very many places, and I'm being sincere, all right, about that. All right, by the time we check statistics, you know, followers, also even the countries, you know, where we get feedback from is interesting, and also, you know, so God is helping us, and every Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. morning faith boost. It's not too much, all right. It's just you listening to God's word every day. I know a few people that told me this is like their devotion every morning. It's like their day starter. So in case you've not joined in, please, you can. And if for any reason, maybe right in your homes, you have family devotion and all that during that time, good news is you could always play this back later. Maybe just in case also you do a bit of maybe vigilante stuff where you are, or you worked or read all night. If you can't click 7 a.m., the same link takes you to the page. You could always listen in, but feed on it if you can. It's just 30 minutes. You could keep it playing. Now, most times it spills beyond 30 minutes because I start streaming a few minutes before 7. So if you click in, you can meet up. All right. So influence us with 5 p.m. today. Morning faith boost every Monday through Friday. Very, very important. Please give feedback. All right. You could send feedback right here. Something you've observed, something you want us to improve upon. You could send feedback right here while services are going on. You could do live feedback. You could send feedback through the workforce pages or through the leaders or send directly to me. But please give feedback. It's our church. So important announcement. We now want to add visuals, all right, to the audio. We want to add visuals. We want to do audio visual. That is, so by Wednesday, before Wednesday, we'll tell you the platform we're test running on, so that by next week, Sunday, we would now be able to see, all right, at least the preacher and maybe the worship leader and all of that. So we want to switch to audio visuals. Now I understand also that there might be issues with phones and data and all of that. So Spreaker will still be running, but it just puts us in a more close-knit community, and then allows us not just to keep hearing, just also to see when we can. So we'll let you know the platforms concluded upon, let's say maybe Tuesday, all right, so that you could easily just be part of what we're doing and see. So those of you who need to just still play radio version will be fantastic. And those who can now watch and at the same time, you know, so please get that. All right. So it's going to be fantastic. So feedback also, please, will be wonderful on that. Hey, oh, good idea. Hey, you know, feedback, please just give feedback. It's church. Give feedback. We're trying to do what we can. Now, why are we not going live on our services? Just in case someone is asking, just my thoughts, all right? Just my thoughts is the fact that Monday through Friday, we're streaming to everybody, anybody who can listen to, you know, anywhere in the body of Christ, all right? Sunday evenings, we're streaming everybody, anywhere. So I'm just feeling like, why don't we keep our own SOSC services within SOSC? I know you might have friends that, you know, also listen to the services. Yeah, I mean, I know that. So many of you share the link on Spreaker. You could keep doing that, you know, but I endeavor to try to keep it within, because, like, I'm sure you understand, we're doing, I mean, our website is there. I mean, good news, we're uploading like 50 messages, not like actually 50, all right? And then we're pushing out. So, I mean, we have a website, we have YouTube, we have Instagram, we have Spreaker, where everybody could be blessed. So my thought is just, can we keep our services to SOLCC? Right now, a few other thoughts are coming in, and then we're considering those thoughts, and I believe we'll get better at it. But I'm saying all this so that you can please give feedback. If you want to type it right here, that'll be fantastic. You could write it here, and then we'll see it. You know, I'll get to see it when I'm done. Or just please send feedback. What you think about the audiovisual thing? What you think about the services and all of that? Lastly, giving. I've mentioned that in two services. Before that, I keep saying three areas to give. Number one, those who feed you God's word. All right. Number two, all men. And then number three, those of the household of faith, fellow believers. And one of the things I've had to instruct us to do is spread love, give to people around you. Okay. So I've encouraged us to give find someone to give. And I remember saying, if you're giving us an increase this season, then you still just might be seeming to be at a slightly selfish point of view. All right. I'm not saying that to be judgmental. I'm saying, so we're not happy in every day. Where's your offering? Where's your offering? Where's your offering? So then the question is, where's the money going? All the money can't just go to feeding you. All right. You need to extend the hand of blessing. Because we're the children of Abraham, we're blessed to be a blessing. So last Sunday of this month, all right, I want us to celebrate giving. All right. That means package an offering. And then last Sunday of this month, we're going to give. In between now and last Sunday month, you say, oh, money came into my hand. I can't wait till last Sunday. I don't want to spend it. Please reach out to the leaders. And I believe all of us by now should have the church's account number. We're members, we're not strangers. So if you don't, all right, receive it today. Store it somewhere, all right? Put the app up. Store it as a beneficiary. Do something. So because I know there will be favor. It's what we're praying about. So there will be favor. Money will come. But set aside something. Set aside. So between now and last Sunday. So last Sunday, we are giving. All right. So I've stored up 10 grand. I've stored up 100 grand. I've stored up 2,000. I've stored up 1,000. Store it up. Okay. You could release your faith for data. All right. And save the money you'd have used. This is faith. This is how we got to where we are. This is how Ekene Copeland will tell you that the same faith that he used to get spell socks is the same faith for an airplane, because he learned to give, he learned to believe, he learned to receive. All right. So these are things we need to still teach every one of us. All right. So when something is in your hand and it's not enough for you, don't finish eating it. I learned that as a young Christian. All right. Don't finish eating it. All right. Mike Murdoch could teach you that. When what you have is not enough for your harvest, then it's likely your seed. All right. When what you have is not enough as your harvest, all right, it's likely your seed. All right. Pick from it. Share with someone. All right. If it's 100 naira data, send to someone else. Just share something with someone. You can do that. All right. And don't forget, God gives seed to the sower, bread to the eater. So I'm encouraging and also challenging. Last Sunday, all right, I guess that's one Sunday and the next Sunday, so guys, we're giving right now. Let's give. All right. So we're giving. But between now and then, money comes into you and you're like, I cannot keep this. I'm going to spend it. Transfer and like, Lord, I honor you. SOCC is my church. All right. So as a member of the church, I have to give to financially support whatever it is my church is doing. Number two, Bible says, whoever blesses me, I should bless. Okay. Galatians teaches that chapter 6, verse 6. And I'm being blessed every Sunday, every Wednesday. I'm being fed spiritually. And if you're on the morning faith boost, so you're being radically blessed. So this is you saying, I recognize my home church. I recognize my responsibility in my home church. And then I recognize also that this is a source of spiritual blessing for me and my spiritual covering. So I give. All right. I respond financially, which is what the Bible instructs us to do. Do you understand that? So I believe this is clear. All right, for every one of us. So last Sunday, well, let's prep ourselves up until then. Once again, don't forget, please, Galatians chapter 5, please. Galatians 5, 16 to 25. 1 Corinthians 13, please. Very important. All right, verse 1 to 8. Read different versions. We'll meet on Wednesday. But before then, I'll see you this evening by 5 p.m. till 5:45. All right, can we lift our hands where we are if we can? Thank you, Father. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. I pray your word that our love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. I pray also that we may come to know the length, the breadth, the depth, the height of your love, that we might be filled with all the fullness of you, oh God. I pray for everyone listening right now and everyone listening hereafter, that will discern self by your spirit, will discern selfishness, will discern, and that our love walk would increase, because your love is already in us in abundance. But by your spirit, it will abound in action. It will abound greatly. In the name of Jesus, I ask that our hearts are filled with the light of your love. Our hearts are filled, that we become more and more understanding of your love for us, and then we become more and more understanding of how that love should flow through us. Oh Father, that we would understand your love for us, and then the communication of your love through us, that this indeed will be our emblem, even as you have said, that our lives will be marked with the love walk, all right, and will bear fruit accordingly. I declare the week is fruitful. I declare the week is filled with favor. I say that no matter what might have happened that might seem bad, things are working together for your good. Things are turned around for your favor. I declare what is good gets better. What is not good becomes good. I declare also that you are fully aware of God's purpose and plans for your life, and you flourish in every single way. This week is filled with light for you. This week is filled with life for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen and amen and amen. All right, guys. I appreciate you all. Thank you. Love you. See you by five. Yep. Bye.
Worship Him. Lift your hands and just worship Him. Lift your hands and then just worship Him. Shut your eyes if you can. And worship Jesus this morning.